A special report now on the green energy transition. I'm David Brancaccio. The International Energy Agency has a new report that could make uncomfortable reading for fossil fuel companies. It predicts a dramatic shift toward renewable energy by the end of this decade. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The International Energy Agency says global demand for fossil fuels will peak by 2030. But the report says demand for oil and gas will stay close to that peak for the next 20 years. Still, it predicts that by the end of this decade, the world will get almost 50% of its electricity from renewables, up from about 30% now. The agency says there will be almost 10 times more electric cars on the road worldwide by 2030, and about half of the new vehicles sold in the U.S. will be electric because of incentives in the Inflation Reduction Act. But those incentives could end under a Republican president. And the International Energy Agency says even if its predictions are correct, demand for fossil fuels will make it impossible to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, the goal of the Paris Agreement. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Now, we're already dealing with the costs of climate change. That is the message from 130 companies that have just approved a letter urging world leaders to ditch fossil fuels, at least when it comes to energy production. They want them to do so by 2035. That's when a first grader now approaches high school graduation. Next month, those leaders will gather in Dubai for the latest United Nations Climate Summit, COP28, it's called.
Right now, the world's biggest economies are likely to miss emissions targets by 2035, and companies are sounding the alarm. Gernot Wagner, a climate economist at Columbia Business School, points to signatories such as consumer goods giant Unilever, which has previously warned of potential hits to its bottom line because of lower crop yields and water scarcity that climate change can bring.
This is essentially a business management with fiduciary responsibility to shareholders saying, we can only see this going in one direction, so let's get on with it.
Some 200 of the world's biggest companies could face climate change-related costs of $1 trillion over several decades if more is not done to avert the worst outcomes. James Stock of Harvard University says of bigger concern for businesses is uncertainty.
There are trillions of dollars of investment that need to be made, and if you're going to be making those investments, you need to be able to be sure that they're going to pay off in the future.
So companies need policy certainty from governments. But Christian Leutz at the University of Chicago says major corporations could make a big difference. If the biggest polluters among them clean up their acts, that would lower emissions overall by 35 to 50%.
From that, I'm actually optimistic that we can, you know, see some very significant carbon reductions.
If, Leutz says, governments require public corporations to disclose their carbon footprints, something U.S. regulators are considering. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
And the Biden administration is making a bet that hydrogen fuel will help bring the American economy to net zero carbon emissions by the year 2050. It's investing $7 billion into hydrogen hubs around the country to develop clean hydrogen. Plus, new federal subsidies and tax incentives are meant to encourage private investment. Marketplace's Savannah Marr has more.
The promise of hydrogen fuel is that it could cut emissions in industries like trucking and manufacturing that have proven most difficult to decarbonize. It's a lot of pressure for an industry that's barely off the ground.
The new uses of hydrogen that we hope to see are still in their infancy.
Aaron Bergman is a fellow with the think tank Resources for the Future. He says the main thing holding hydrogen fuel back is its cost.
Unless there is an additional incentive to sort of bridge this price difference between fossil fuels and hydrogen, there's very little reason for people to use hydrogen right now.
Bergman says the new hubs will look for more cost-effective ways to produce hydrogen fuel, and federal incentives will help create a market for it. But building the infrastructure to support this new economy, like production plants, pipelines, and storage facilities, won't come cheap, says Scott Nyquist, a senior advisor with McKinsey.
And inflation is driving up the cost in a way that is unexpected.
He says supply chain issues affecting this industry have stubbornly lingered since these incentives were first introduced. Plus, interest rates have soared.
So therefore, the revenues that you need to get from these projects to make them work for a business needs to be much higher.
Nyquist says there's a fear that the available subsidies aren't enough to make those projects pencil out. Then there's the industry's personnel problem, says Eugene Holubniak, director of the Hydrogen Energy Research Center at the University of Wyoming.
We do have workforce that knows how to deal with hydrogen, but it is still limited.
Even with the labor market cooling off, building a specialized workforce from scratch won't be easy. Holubniak says whether hydrogen energy lives up to its promise depends on how quickly the brand new industry can scale up. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
Hydrogen does pack a lot of energy into a small volume, and water vapor comes out the exhaust, yet it takes lots of electricity to make hydrogen, and that can be a clean or a dirty process, depending. General Motors reported today its profits beat expectations, but were down more than 7% from a year earlier. The stock is up 0.8% now. GM said, given the auto workers' strike, it is withdrawing its profit and sales guidance for the rest of the year. A Michigan-based consulting company says the strike against GM, Ford, and Jeep Ram Dodge maker Stellantis has resulted so far in a $9.6 billion economic loss. Ford's quarterly results come out on Thursday. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.